Patience is the greatest prayer. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Harold Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Patience is the greatest prayer. Patience is also one of the most impossible experiences that most of us have. We do not have patience. We just seem not to have patience. We want to rush things through. We want to move things so quickly. We want to do things because we feel that it is already done. And when that's our feeling, that it's already done, then we got a problem. Mainly because we didn't listen long enough. Now, I told a story about the boy who wanted to kiss the girl. And he said, "God, I'd love to kiss that girl." And God says, "Go ahead." And the boy ran out there and kissed the girl, and she whacked him across the street. And he said to God, "God, you said I could kiss her." "Yeah, but you didn't listen. I told her, go right ahead. And if you do, she'll whack you across the street. But you didn't listen. You didn't have the patience to hear what I said through. You just jumped on the first point because that's what you wanted to hear, and then you acted upon it. Now, if you're patient, you don't have that happen. Now, if you said, "God, I sure love to kiss that girl. How do I go about it?" And then you know what I'd say to you? I'd say, "Well, son, do you believe that girl wants to kiss you?" "Well, I don't know that she's even thought about it." "Do you believe that girl wants to kiss you?" "Well, maybe she would, I don't know." "Do you believe that girl wants to kiss you?" And as God, I kept probing and asking, and finally he said, "Well, probably not." I said, "Then she doesn't want to kiss you. If you believe that girl wants to kiss you, if you believe that you're the most kissable guy in the world, nice, not a great big ego, but a nice kissable guy, that girl wants to kiss you. And all you have to do is be important, and she'll come rushing to you and wanting to kiss you." Now, how can you be important? Well, you can be important to others, and that takes time. You have to build up a reputation. You have to build up a business or an activity in your life where you are doing something that you build up an attitude about yourself that people think that you're wonderful. Or you can go the easy route, which of course is the hard route. You can go the easy route and say, "Yes, I am important," and know that you're important, act as though you're important, be important, and that girl will come throwing her arms around you wanting to have a very close friendship with you. "But I'm not important." "That's what I said." As long as you think you're not important, nobody's going to want to have any interest in you whatsoever, not even you. Now, it's not a matter of being important. That makes no difference. We've been reading about living in the now, and it has nothing to do with the facts. It has nothing to do with the evidence. It has nothing to do with the conditions. It has only to do with our thought, living in the now. Now, we have been taught by God Unlimited University of Healing for many years to think our first thought, to grab our first thought and follow it. And in grabbing our first thought and following it, what happens to us? What happens to us is that we have the best thought we could ever have. The best thought we could ever have in the entire world to our benefit. Now, what good is the best thought to us? What good is it to have the best thought? Well, when you have the best thought, then that means you believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself sincerely, everyone else believes in yourself. And if you think you're good sincerely, everyone else will think that you're good. If you believe that you're a wonderful person, everyone else will think that you're a wonderful person. It has nothing to do with you having earned being a wonderful person. Nothing to do. It has nothing to do with your having earned the right to fame and fortune and things like that. That has nothing whatsoever to do with it. It only has to do with what you think of yourself. Now, if you are good, you don't need credit. If you are good, you don't need anyone to say you're good. If you're good, you don't need anyone to say, here's a raise in salary for you. If you're good, you don't need anything. But, truly, if you are good, you will have that raise in salary. You will have that recognition. You will have all those things because you have it inside of yourself first. Once you have it inside of yourself first, then the whole world will fall in line worshiping you, saying how great you are. Without having it in line, without having it in your mind, without believing it for yourself, even if you're great, nobody will believe it. There are many men in Washington who hold high posts, who are very modest men, you might say. They don't want the world to know that they're holding the drawstrings on the president's pocketbook. They don't want the world to know that because of them, the cancer fund got an extra $1 billion, you know. They don't want anyone to know that because of them, the Mother's March on this or that was accepted and approved by the president, and he appeared before them, giving them the approval, which is more than any money they could ever get. And he's the one who told the president to do it. But he doesn't want anyone to know. Now, does he not want anyone to know because he is humble, or he doesn't want people to think he's so good? Or what do you think the reason might be he wouldn't want anyone to know?
They say do not ask him to do something for
if him. Other people know about it, and he's wise enough, and they know that he is able to hold the president's ear very well, they're going to come to him and ask him for their special projects. And of course, how can anyone turn him down? Because he believes in all these people. He can't turn them down. And he can't say, okay, let's go for the Boy Scouts, but not for the Girl Scouts, you know? He can't do that. He can't say, let's go for the Red Cross, but not for the Blue Cross, you know? I mean, they're two different organizations, it's true, working different programs, it's true, but why should he go for one and not the other? You can't go for a few charity organizations and say the rest of the charity organizations aren't any good. Because if you do that, then you're saying the rest of the charity organizations are illegal. They're not getting the support of the government. And you can't do that. Now, we do that to ourselves. We create who we are. We create what we are, how we are. We walk into a room and people look up and say, oh man, look, that must be somebody. Or do the people, when we walk into the room, they look up and then they go back to their book. It was nobody. It was nobody. Because we didn't think we were anybody. We didn't think that we were somebody worthy of attention. And then our associates, they're going to say it was nobody. When they run experiments and they do guinea pig tests on people, the people who complain the most are the ones who are used as a guinea pig, because theoretically they got the biggest problem. And that's not always true. They may just have the biggest mouth complaining. The ones with the biggest problems probably suffer in quietness, and nobody knows how terrible their problem is. Now, what are you going to do with those things like that? You have to decide what role you're playing. Are you playing the role of you alone? Or are you playing the role of you and everybody else? Thomas Jefferson was one of the early presidents, framer of the Constitution and many other things in the United States. Very busy fellow. He was busy in Europe, he was busy in France, he was busy here. He developed his slave business, he developed his farms, he developed his beautiful home in Monticello, and he developed a lot of lovely things in his short life. And he was a very busy fellow. And he knew he was good. He founded a university. he established the foundation for the documents of the United States beautifully. Tremendous mind. Now, who would have paid any attention to him if he had just pretended to be a milquetoast? Who would have paid? He could be brilliant beyond imagination. But if he didn't believe in himself, who'd pay attention to him? Well, he did. He did. And he chose to use his time wisely. And he chose to write wisely. And the most amazing man. And he was just about married to a black lady back in those days. And that's very interesting, too. You see, he was great because he was great, even though he did all sorts of things, none of which were anti-social. Washington did many great things. He was a surveyor. He went out and surveyed the lands. Can you imagine going across thousands and thousands and thousands of acres, miles of acres, in fact, with a chain, a piece of chain? Put the chain like this, bloop, 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 measuring the distance, uphill and downhill, over the logs, under the logs, through the logs, and you have to keep straight lines and stuff like that. Now, I mean, that's an amazing work that he was in, just like our John Dainty was a surveyor. Now, John used modern equipment. He didn't use the chain, but the chain is still referred to. How many chains is it from here to there? As far as the surveyor goes, it's in the dictionary. It's quite interesting. They were young people. They were young people. Many of the generals were in their 20s. Can you imagine that? And they were handling the country. And of course, those who got into office were in their 30s and 40s. But the thing is, they had already been setting up the organization, setting up the country, organizing it. What brilliance, what wonder. But they knew who they were. They cared, and they had a cadre of people who cared about the development of the country, and they were there. Now, that's a fantastic thing when you realize that these men were so young and yet so vital. Now, do you think they cared what other people thought of them? They couldn't. They didn't have time for that. Some did. Some did. And you read about them. And they're the ones that you read about because they cared what other people thought. But the ones who didn't care, you read about what they did. You read about their genius. You read about the wonderment about who they are. That's pretty fantastic. What is it the world will read about you or me after we have shuffled off this mortal coil, or maybe taken it with us? What's the world going to think of us? Are they going to think that we're silly? We're limited? Whatever you say, that's what the world's going to think. And it doesn't matter. What's the world going to think about you? Doesn't matter. Just go and do your thing. Have fun. Be yourself. Have fun. And you'll be amazed.
What they say. And you will be amazed what they say.
Yep. You'd be amazed. Because most of them have no idea who you are. Your contemporaries know very little about you. There are a few big names in our present time, but the biggest names are the names that come afterwards. The people who did quiet work and were not very well known, but they were beautiful. So, think about these things. Patience is the greatest power, the greatest prayer. It's not an easy thing to come by. But people are only going to know us by what we feel about ourselves. And if we like ourselves, if we think that we're great, then the world's going to have patience with us as we unfold, as they did with the founding fathers of the United States. Think on these things. They're wonderful. I love you, I love you, I love you.